Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yo, it is another edition of Phillies Today. I am your host, James Seltzer. It is Thursday, July the 12th. As unfortunately, I come to you after a frustrating Phillies loss last night as the Phillies yet another extra inning tough one as the Phillies lose the second 10-inning game of the series with the Mets. The only games they lost were in extra innings. Phillies were undefeated in the regular nine against the Mets this series, but sadly lose two in the 10th. The Wilmer Flores home run in the first game of the series, the Zach Eflin start, and then last night Brandon Nimmo comes into the game, and it's a three-run bomb off Mark Leiter Jr., to end the game, to walk it off. A frustrating loss, especially considering that the Atlanta Braves took care of business against Toronto and are now sitting tied with the Phillies again, both teams at 51-40 on the season. However, the Phillies, you feel better about the Phillies' schedule the rest of the way here before the All-Star break, as the Phillies heading to Baltimore tonight. We'll get to that, looking into that in a little bit, and then after that to Miami for three games. Both of those teams, very bad. Baltimore, the worst team in baseball. And then on the flip side, the Braves have to play one more against Toronto, and then they've got the Arizona Diamondbacks, who've been a really good baseball team this season. First place in the West right there with the Dodgers back and forth, though they did get pounded last night. But ultimately, you feel better about the Phillies' schedule. Again, a frustrating one last night, as there were a few spots where you really felt like the Phillies had the chance to win the game. Kind of similar to that first game of the series, the Wilmer Flores walk-off game, as a couple things early on that was interesting. By the way, shout out to Mr. Vincent Velasquez, who was absolutely terrific. One of his best starts of the season from a economy of pitches perspective, from a trusting his stuff and working semi-quickly. He's such a slow worker, but semi-quickly, but really just a really nice outing, especially the first one off the DL. Six innings, only two hits allowed, only one walk allowed, three strikeouts for Velasquez. The one walk is what you feel really good about. And again, 85 pitches through six innings. I mean, that's unheard of for Vincent Velasquez. Again, granted, facing a Mets lineup that is about as bad as they come, but still, nice outing for Velasquez. Was nice to see. And really, the bullpen held up as well. Nishek, a clean inning. Nice to see that. Victor Arano struggled a little bit, but able to get a couple big outs. Adam Morgan, a third of an inning. Sir Anthony Dominguez pitched a perfect inning. And then Mark Leiter Jr., unfortunately, got so close, but with two outs, unable to get it done, as allows a hit and a walk. And then Brandon Nimmo hits the three-run home run to end it, as again, the Phillies just unable to get anything going offensively, as Cesar Hernandez, the only player on the team with more than one hit, 2-for-5 for Cesar. No one could get it going. Is just a really frustrating night from that perspective. Is also a frustrating night in a couple places where there was a challenge on a Decker catch in that wasn't a catch, and you know, it seemed like the umps didn't know what they were going to do, where to put Franco in the situation as he was on base. But ultimately, like, there are stills all over Twitter. Just go check out Philly's Twitter, and you will see that the ball hit the ground. So they got screwed a little bit there. Also, a terrible base running mistake by Andrew Knapp in the top of the 10th, which, of course, they lose in the bottom of the 10th. So can't feel too good about that one, as Knapp round second on a single, an infield single, and the third baseman was like going to throw to first, looks to first, but then Knapp, of course, round second way too wide and gets caught in a rundown, ends the inning, and then the Brandon Nimmo homer would end it the next inning. So just one of those games where it really felt like the Phillies had every opportunity to win it and were unable to pull it out, as it seems they seem to have those games against the Mets, as again, they lose the first game of the series in similar fashion, the 4-3 Wilmer Flores walk-off game, where it just felt like over and over and over again, the Phillies had the opportunity to pull the game out. And over and over and over again, it seemed like they were unable to do so. And it just was that type of game last night. But look, can't win them all. This team has been so good as of late, 8-9 series heading into this one. They split the series with the Mets there as the Mets able to salvage it. But again, this team has been playing really good baseball. They are 4 games out from the All-Star break and sitting tied for first place at 51-40. They didn't win their 51st game until September last year, or August 31st, the beginning of September. It is crazy how much further ahead this team is, especially as we've talked a lot about on this show, how they haven't really clicked on all cylinders at any point this season, and yet they keep finding ways to be resilient and to bounce back and to win games. We saw that in the doubleheader. They lose that tough game. The Wilmer Flores not walk-off. It's a demoralizing type of loss. And then what does Aaron Nola do? He goes out and he pitches 7 shutout innings, dominates, 10 strikeouts, 1 hit, 1 walk. And oh, by the way, he also it's a base clear and double and scores all 3 runs for the Phillies, or knocks in all 3 runs for the Phillies. So look, they do that. And Aaron Nola has consistently done that in terms of him going out and being a stopper when needed, and really just every single start so consistent. But this team in general has found ways to bounce back night after night after night after night, and it's impressive. And I'm excited to see how that plays out over the rest of the season, as again, sitting at 51-40 on the season now, as you look at this Phillies team heading into the All-Star break here. Aaron Nola, we just spoke about him. Good news with Nola. He will start on Saturday against the Marlins instead of Sunday, shuffling the rotation a little bit to be able to allow Nola to pitch in the All-Star game, which is very cool for Aaron Nola. I think that's a classy move by Kapler and the staff to find a way to make that work. And it'll be exciting to get to see Nola get the opportunity to go down to the All-Star game, but that is good news. Also, a couple guys I wanted to highlight quickly in terms of guys who have really been playing good baseball and maybe have not been getting some of the respect they deserve. One guy has certainly been getting credit as of late. As soon as he's moved to the 8-hole, Michael Franco has become a different hitter. He has been absolutely outstanding. We mentioned some of the numbers yesterday on the show, but a 1050 OPS over the last month plus. He has a 400 batting average in the month of June, somewhere in that range. Again, he is all of a sudden has the second highest average on this team, and it has kind of come out of nowhere. 12 homers, been playing really, really good baseball, and also has been so good defensively. You know, he makes some highlight type plays, but he is also so sure-handed. It seems like every time the ball is hit his way, he's got it, and he's gunning it over to first base with that cannon of an arm. So look, I have been far from the world's biggest Michael Franco defender or even fan, but I've certainly been impressed with the last month, what he's doing and taking to the number 8 spot like he has. And he credited a conversation with Carlos Santana that kind of shifted his perspective on things. And I think that's great. I think The Athletic had that piece. And, you know, look, I think that, again, Michael Franco certainly has talent. So if he can buy in and really change the way he goes about his business and you know, really just change his approach, then all of a sudden, hey, he could be a good player. He's still young. It's crazy how young he is because he's been up for so long. But he's still in the 25, 26 range. I think he just turned 26 a little while ago. And look, there's still some upside there. As you know, we've seen him have success in the majors. So again, I need to see him do it for a lot longer period of time than this to really buy in, as I've just been burned by Franco reverting back to his old habits far too often the last few years. But again, it's been nice to see him play better, and he certainly had a big contribution over this, you know, nice stretch of baseball they've played over the last month. Another guy who I certainly have not given enough credit to, and you know, I think we all agree that he should be starting in right field as Nick Williams, we were talking about, says very clearly overtaken Aaron Altair on a night-to-night basis and deservedly so. He has been light years better than Aaron Altair, has just really struggled so far this season. But it's been nice to see Williams develop, and I've been really impressed with him both from a mental perspective and from a actual on-the-field perspective. From a mental perspective, look, he had a tough start to the season. You know, he had the whole, what is the computer saying, the lineup thing, and apologize, and then he had to go about his business just on the few starts he could get, and then being the best pinch hitter we've all ever seen, and then he finally gets the opportunity, and he's really been taking advantage of it. He has been outstanding over the last month. One of the best hitters in baseball in terms of plate coverage. He's which is, I wouldn't have known until I know by Ben Harris. By Ben Harris on Twitter had a piece about it. A few other people had a piece. I think Eno Saris mentioned on The Athletic as well. So, you know, I think Nick Williams' ability to cover the plate, he has shown some power. He's shown some, the ability to have some clutch hits. And really for the last couple months, and I said this a while ago, but has been one of the few guys during the stretch of bad games, you know, the end of May into June, beginning of June, was one of the few guys who seemed to consistently be giving this team good at bats, who seemed to be going up and actually battling when he got to the plate. And look, I think that's carried out and borne out to more success for him as he's been hitting the ball really well, some big hits, some home runs as of late. So shout out to Nick Williams for taking the situation and making the best of it, and now very clearly the starting right fielder for this team for the rest of the season unless they go out and get somebody to fill that role. And then the last guy I want to mention is Andrew Knapp, who continues to hit. And I think it's really interesting that Kapler has been riding the hot hand there. And I was just talking to John Marks on the High Hopes podcast, and he made a really good point about the concept that potentially Kapler could be trying to not just take advantage of the hot streak, but also give Jorge Alfaro some rest. Alfaro is someone who's never played more than, 120, 110 games in a season before. This is the longest grind he has ever had to be a part of, and he's doing it at one of the toughest positions to grind at on a night-to-night basis. So not only is Kapler looking at a guy in Knapp who's been hot and has really been swinging a good bat. He's been one of the most consistent hitters in the lineup lately, and certainly some big hits as well. Of course, the walk-off in the 13th against the Nats. He had the big triple the next night. He's just been really good lately and showing some pop and all that. Obviously, the defensive deficiencies comparatively to Alfaro are very stark and very clear. He has like a tiny child's arm compared to Jorge Alfaro's grown man's arm, if you know what I mean. But I think that Knapp, it's nice to see that Kapler, someone who people were so afraid was just going to go by analytics and set his lineup card a week in advance. Remember that one? All that stuff. He's riding the hot hand with Knapp, and he's playing the matchups and giving the kid a chance to play a little bit more. And I think also in the process, getting Alfaro some much needed rest for the dog days that are coming up. So just wanted to highlight those three guys that I feel we talk a ton about: Reese Hoskins and Odubel Herrera and Carlos Santana and Cesar Hernandez. And then even on those guys with good reason. And then on the flip side, we talk a lot about the struggles of Scott Kingery, who's been much better the last month too, for what it's worth, both offensively and defensively, as we've talked about recently. But I think those other guys getting a little shortchanged lately and have been a really big part of why this team has been playing such better baseball of late, as again, they sit 51-40 heading into the All-Star break. Four games left to go in Baltimore tonight, then heading down to Miami for the final three before the All-Star break. Looking forward to tonight as Nick Pivetta will take that against Kevin Gausman. Gausman, a top prospect, former top prospect, has never been able to put it together in the majors, but pitching really well of late. And of course, Nick Pivetta, similar type of guy, a prospect, and is starting to put it together. So that should be a fun one tonight before heading down to Miami. So it should be a really interesting weekend here. Look, the Phillies have a real opportunity here. Again, the Braves playing the Diamondbacks, a much better baseball team. Phillies playing the worst team in baseball, and then the Marlins, who are another one of the worst teams in baseball. Phillies can take 3 of 4 here. They'd be 13 games above 500 heading into break. You know, they'd be cruising along here. And they would also have the chance to be alone in first place, potentially, with the Braves taking on the Diamondbacks. So exciting stuff here. We'll look ahead to these games coming up, plus a few other notes from the team and around the league. And also a quick mention of some future All-Star potential here as well. All that and more is coming up next. It's Phillies Today. It's James Seltzer. Don't go anywhere. We are back. It is Phillies Today. James Seltzer. Coming up in just a little minute, we'll look ahead to tonight's game in Baltimore as Kevin Gausman will take the over for the Orioles against Nick Pivetta for the Phillies. A 6:05 start and a nice little earlier start for us as the Phillies making up that rainout from before, from a month and a half, whatever it is, ago in Baltimore, and then heading down to Miami. We'll get to that in a minute. A couple quick notes and then a thought on All-Stars, as that is obviously an interesting topic. We've talked a lot about Manny Machado. I think you guys know where I stand. I also don't think it's likely the Phillies will do it. We did have the rumor over the weekend, this past weekend, that the Phillies were out on Machado because they were looking to take on salary rather than give up high-end prospects. Again, a philosophy I've lauded. I think that is the absolute way they should be going about things. But according to Jim Bowden yesterday, he said that they are not out. According to sources, Phillies, in fact, are still in talks with the Orioles re-Machado. Dodgers, Brewers, and Diamondbacks still considered to have the best offers on the table. So for what it's worth, the Phillies not out. I still would be really surprised if they end up with Machado. But interesting to hear that they are not out of it yet. Also, forgot to mention, I had an RBI hit a couple nights ago, but Trevor Plouffe brought up to the team to be a utility guy for this team. Plouffe had a really nice year a few years ago in Minnesota, hit a bunch of home runs out of nowhere. Yeah, I think as a utility guy, you could do worse. Trevor Plouffe, guy's got a little pop in the bat, a decent guy to have there. And then how about this? As Vincent Velasquez deals yesterday, the man that he was traded for, Mr. Ken Giles, was demoted to AAA by the Orioles. I'm not sure if you saw the video, but he gave up three base runners in the ninth in a 4-0 game. They end up losing the game. A.J. Hinch comes out to get him after he loads the bases, and he basically said, you know, screw you, man, if the screw were a curse word. So I think you know where I'm going with that. So that'll usually get you a little bit of repercussions. You can't just say that to your manager and not expect something to happen, especially when you've been stinking as of late. But Ken Giles sent down to the minors. Vincent Velasquez pitching well in the majors. I think we can safely say right now the Phillies looking like the winners of that trade, no matter how much the rest of it didn't pan out. But looking good right now is Giles certainly a disaster down there in Houston. All right, a quick thought before we look at tonight's game and beyond. I just wanted to mention, looking at this team now, because, you know, the All-Star game is coming up. And we've talked a lot about Aaron Nola being the only All-Star, and the fact that even though they're in first place, it is deserved. Aaron Nola probably should be the only All-Star on this team. That's just the way it is, as Tupac once said. That's just the way it is. But I think there are some guys on this team right now who could be All-Stars in the future. Obviously, Aaron Nola, Odubel Herrera, Pat Neshek all have been All-Stars already. When you look at this team, look, Santana's probably past his time to be an All-Star. If he hasn't been one yet, he probably won't be one at any point, especially with the National League first base picture is just insane. As we mentioned the other day, I mean, you got Votto and Rizzo and Goldschmidt and all these guys who are not going anywhere for a long time, Freddie Freeman. So I don't have high hopes for him in the near future. I think Rhys Hoskins would be the next Philly to make an All-Star team, was not made one. And look, all it would take was a hot streak from Rhys in the first half, and he's there. He's on the radar, and I think the other guy who stands out as a potential All-Star down the road, Sir Anthony Dominguez, could make an All-Star team. Look, Josh Hader on the All-Star team this year. They're taking middle reliever-type guys. Who knows where Sir Anthony ends up from that perspective down the road, but I think Sir Anthony clearly has the stuff to be a All-Star down the road. But after that, you look at this team and you say, all right, for real, how many of these other guys are going to play in an All-Star game someday? And it's a lot tougher. You know, I think if you had asked people before the season started, will Scott Kingery be an All-Star someday, they'd say, this year! But look, he has certainly not lived up to that. But I think, like, it would be silly to say that Scott Kingery won't be an All-Star someday. He certainly still has the potential. He's 23 years old. I'm not ready to go there yet. But I think it wouldn't be the craziest thing if you told me Scott Kingery would make an All-Star game one day. Again, right now you'd have to put your money on no based on what we've seen. But again, so young, so much future left. Same thing with Alfaro. I think from his ability defensively, if he can put together that power and have he could have a 15-20 homer first half somehow, or something, maybe not 20, but you know what I mean, and play stellar defense, he could make an All-Star team. I think it's a little easier for a catcher to someday down the road. And then Nick Pivetta, Zach Eflin, the two pitching names that kind of pop into your mind from what we've seen from them, the upside that we've seen, especially Pivetta, I think could make an All-Star team someday with his ability to miss bats and those high-end strikeout numbers. And then look, you know what? A little dark horse pick. We're just talking about him. How about that Nick Williams? Nick Williams played really well, and he's got a lot of tools. He's got a sweet swing. He's got plate coverage. He's athletic. He's a good base runner. I think Nick Williams could get locked in and continue to improve, and who knows? That dude could be an All-Star someday. Again, I would not bet on it. If I were betting on it, I'd bet on Rhys, Sir Anthony, and And that would be it at this moment. But I think all those other guys have a legit chance, at least someday down the road. And that's exciting to think about, especially when you think about the players still on the way. You know, we just saw Aniel De Los Santos make his debut and just go back down to the minors. They don't even need him. That's where this team is at. And you love that. As again, Velasquez was great last night. Nick Pivetta will get back on track. Arrieta looked great in his last outing. Nola is a stud of studs. I think it's really exciting how this team is shaping up. You look at the trade market, they could certainly add a bat. I think, as we've heard, Machado, not the only name they've been in on. Mike Moustakas has been mentioned. Whit Merrifield has been mentioned. We have heard Adrian Beltre is a name that has been floated. So there are a lot of opportunities there, and I think that bringing in a veteran bat, a guy who's been through some wars, who has a real stick that he can swing and kind of come in with some veteran gravitas, a guy like Adrian Beltre maybe, I think would be such a nice advantage for this team moving forward. And again, it's not going to do for you what adding Manny Machado, aka one of the best hitters in the sport, would do, obviously. But I think that it really could still make a big difference for this team, and it could do so without giving up anything at all that will hinder them in the future, especially because they could still sign Manny Machado for what it's worth. And I don't think Manny Machado is going to sign a contract with anyone he gets traded to, even if it's here or somewhere else. That's just not what's going to happen. Machado is going to test the market because there is way too much money on the table for him not to. So look, I think it's a really interesting situation for me. I would love to see the Phillies go out and get one of those other guys. Moustakas in the last year of his deal. Beltre in the last year of his deal. Merrifield actually controlled, and he's a useful utility guy who could play a lot of places. And then obviously you're looking at relief pitchers with Brad Hand and Kyle Barraclough. And then, you know, it doesn't even have to be a closer, just a guy who can get lefties out, or a Kirby Yates or whatever. There's so many guys in here that you could feel good about them targeting that could make it such a difference maker. That team, this team is, especially when you compare it to the National League competition, don't get me wrong, you'd have to be blind to not see that the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Astros are the three best teams in baseball, and they are the three best teams in baseball by a bunch. It's not close right now, both from a record perspective and from just a watching them play with your eyes perspective and a talent on the field perspective. But when you look at the National League, I don't think there's anyone in the National League who's really terrifying. I don't think there's any team that you say, oh, the Phillies can't beat that team, you know? Look, the Brewers have the best record in the National League, and the Phillies took 2-3 from them in Milwaukee. Granted, they lost 2-3 the week before, but, you know, they got that done, and it was doable. You know, the Diamondbacks are certainly a beatable team. The Dodgers are a beatable team. The Braves, the Nationals, all these types of teams. The Cubs scare me the most, I would say, just because of the amount of talent. But even then, they're not that terrifying a team. So the big takeaway when you look at the way the situation unfolds is that the Phillies can make some moves here and have a chance to really contend in the National League. And again, I don't think they win the World Series. Granted, of course, stranger things have happened. But I think that regardless, supplementing with some bullpen help, and it can be cheaper, guys. Supplementing with some bats can be cheaper, guys. I think all that type of stuff is something that they're going to really look to do and probably do. It's just a question of who they're going to get and what it's going to cost. It's going to be really fascinating. And if nothing else, how exciting is it that the trade deadline is coming up and your Philadelphia Phillies are not only in contention, in first place, all that good stuff, but you actually get to pay attention to all this stuff and not look at who are we dealing away for prospects I haven't heard of and I'll get to know. It's who are we getting to help my team right now? Who are we getting where when I go to the ballpark this week, I'm going to see that guy on my team? Or when I watch every game at home and I'm watching, oh, that's my guy. He's on my team now. I love it. And it's been a long time since we've been able to do that. So it is really, really exciting as this team obviously playing its best baseball this late in the season since the year 2011. Very, very exciting stuff. All right, big one tonight in Baltimore is you hope the Phillies can go in there and just take care of business like they did in the two-game set with Baltimore here. Kevin Gausman's a really good pitcher. There's a lot of talent there. He's struggled on and off. Certainly his career has been more off than on, as he's been one of those guys who is incredibly highly touted every time he comes up and just can never seem to put it all together, but is having a really nice year this year. I think the Pivetta matchup, a really apt comparison, is someone who can go out and be almost unhittable or can go out and have nothing and just get hit around. So it's a really interesting one, and hopefully they can take advantage before heading down to Miami for the weekend. We will cover it all for you here. We'll react to the Orioles tomorrow, look ahead to the weekend, the All-Star break, all that good stuff here on Phillies Today. But until then, keep it here. We have you covered all day long right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.